It is indeed a pleasure to be back with you here at Tri-Cities. It's been a while. But don't let that deter, because I'm so honored that Stacy reached out to me about coming presenting a lesson. And old proverbial saying is, it's a lot of water running under the bridge. Well, it's been a lot of water running under the bridge since the last time I was been here. I feel like I wouldn't say a better speaker, but I'm a more experienced speaker now, because basically the last 6 months I've been preaching full time at Tharptown. So today was the first time ever coming out that I had to figure out which lesson I was going to present, because I have plenty to choose from now. So it is kind of a relaxing and comfortable thing to know that you've got more lessons than you used to have. That being said, this morning, the lesson I wanted to teach on this morning, I don't know if any of y'all saw my Facebook post. I tried to get visitors come today. I titled the lesson this morning, Leave a Legacy. There's a lot of people chasing dreams in this old world today. And there's nothing wrong with that, setting a goal, trying to achieve it. But I'm going to ask you, how do you want to be remembered? Is it for the money you had in your bank, your wealth, your possessions, or just who you were? Well, this morning, I want to look through three different things, because there's something everyone is going through. And that is, we're all writing a story with our lives. We may not realize it. We may not think about it. But you're writing a story 24/7, 365. And not with ink and paper. Although some people have an autobiography or a biography, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that has been recorded, and I'm thankful, because you know what? If it wasn't recorded what Jesus Christ did for us, would we have the faith today that we have? Absolutely not. But our lives are being recorded by our choices we make, our habits we have, good or bad, the relationships we keep, and most importantly, the way we treat people. And I want to emphasize people, because at the last point of this lesson, we're going to really talk about people. One day others will look back and remember us, whether we want to or not. When we're laying in the casket, people are going to come by and say, well, he was a good man. Well, he was a stingy man. Or he was a man after God's own heart. Do we want that said of us like of David? That's my goal. I want people to remember me for what I did for the Lord. How would they remember you? See, most people don't think about legacy until it's too late. You don't think about it. And that's one reason why I asked the brother to read Psalm 90, verse 12. You see, Scripture invites us to live with the end in mind. And it's not to promote fear, but it's to cultivate wisdom. Turn back to Psalm 90, verse 12. Verse 12 says, teach us to number our days carefully. When you do something carefully, it's methodical. It's you think about it. Our days are numbered. How many has ever heard a preacher stand at a funeral and they talk about the first number and the last number, and there's that little dash? That's all your life is a dash. Sadly, and I mean, it goes by that quick when in the grand scheme of things. And it's that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? That's knowing what the Bible tells us to do. It's the way I translate wisdom. This is the ultimate wisdom, is doing what God intended us to do. You see, when we remember that our days are limited, our priorities become much more clear. Not chasing the almighty dollar, but chasing after the almighty God. Our character becomes sharper, and our purpose becomes stronger. And we all have a purpose. That's biblical. Every one of us has a purpose in this life. So today I want to ask two simple but powerful questions. How do you want to be remembered? And how do you live that way now? Because when your life is over, you're just a memory. But how can you make a lasting impression on people now so when your life is over, they'll look back and say, that was a special man? There's a couple people that come to my mind that makes a difference. And one who has been probably my greatest impact as far as preaching, Brother Frank Ritchie. You think about that man and what he's done for the ministry over 50 years. Or you've got Brother T.B. Larimore, the one that I know Mars Hill changed to more institutional, but that man made a difference. Will they talk about you that way? So this morning, I want us to look at three biblical-based principles or truths that shape a life worthy of being remembered. We've already read Psalm 90, verse 12. Let's go to James 4, verse 14. I do have a new Bible. They are sticking together. So, but I love this Bible because when you're getting blind and old like me, these bigger print helps. Come on. Quit sticking. There we go. James 4, we'll read verse 14 together. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. None of us knows what's happening tomorrow. Obviously, we'll go clock in. I'll clock in at 7:05 in the morning. But spiritually, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. What will your life be? For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Our life is short-lived in the grand scheme of things. The Bible tells us you're blessed to get 70 years. I hope I make it there. I'll be 44 in a few weeks, and sometimes I feel 54, and sometimes I honestly feel 24. But life is fast. It moves fast. How many people or how many of y'all have noticed that the calendar speeds up? Even though we know it does it, but it sure feels like that way, right? Days blur into weeks, weeks into years. I mean, it moves. 25 years ago, this year, I graduated high school. That does not seem real. It's went by fast. That's how life happens. Here's the sad part. We may have full schedules, but sometimes our schedules don't fill our souls. And what I mean by that is, we can be busy without being purposeful. How many have ever heard of busybodies? Just always got to be doing something. But are you doing it with a purpose? Sadly, I don't think there's a lot of people outside these four walls that are doing and living with a purpose. They're just living to be living and chasing that almighty dollar or whatever it is they're trying to make or achieve. That's all they're focused on. Where is our focus? See, James 4:14 reminds us, you are a vapor. Just for a little while, and then you're gone. See, that's not meant to discourage us, though. Even though it does bring fear to a lot of people, because they don't know. I mean, they don't know what's going to hold. They don't know when their life's going to be over. Death scares people. But it shouldn't scare us. It's meant to awaken us. Because you know what? If life is short, then life is precious. Because if it is short, it's got to be valuable. And if life is brief, life is meaningful. So we should live with purpose, not just activity, like the point says above. Legacy begins with intentionality or purpose. we got to have a purpose we live for. And in point three, I'm going to talk more about that purpose that I feel like biblically we should all strive to reach for. You see, it's not about accomplishments, albeit they're great. I mean, I'm overjoyed to have accomplishments in my life. I've got a little 16-year-old niece who just made All-State in volleyball. What a great accomplishment, you know? There's nothing wrong with having that. There's nothing wrong with having titles, doctor, lawyer. But if that's your main focus, you should shift your focus. Not about the possessions you have, but about the purpose that you're here for. So ask yourself this morning, what story is my life telling right now? Am I living a life of purpose or just a life of busyness? And what story do I want it to tell? And this hits home for me more than anybody, because I've always chased, I want to be somebody. Well, being somebody and truly being somebody is two totally different things. God doesn't want us to drift through this life. He wants us to live on purpose, with purpose, but most importantly for His purpose. That's what we're commissioned to do. We have a commission. And when you live intentionally, when you choose what matters most, you will begin shaping a legacy that will outlast you. When people talk about you when you're gone, they'll say, that was a good man of God. Or will they say, that was a good businessman. Or will they say, that was a good man for his family. In and of those things, those are nothing wrong. But if that's what your focal point is, there is a problem. So, there's the verses we're going to look at next. If you want to write those down, we'll go to Proverbs 22, verse 1 first. And this is talking about a building a character that outlives you, point number 2. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. What does that mean? I want somebody to, when they talk about me, they talk about what I've done for God or what I've done for the church, or not what I've done for me, not the amount of money that I've got. Sadly, that's the way this world has shifted. Everybody is chasing something, good or bad. This tells us our good name, our reputation should mean something. But why? What makes that so important? Because people may forget what you achieved in your life. When you're gone, guess what? You're not going to take the money with you. I've often heard it said, well, write a check and throw it in there and he'll take his money with him. You know, that ain't what it's about. But they will never forget who you were. They will never forget the impact you made on their life, good or bad. See, character is the foundation of a lasting legacy. Our character means something. Micah 6, verse 8. If you will turn over there now, Micah 6, verse 8. Mankind, he has told each of you what is good, and what is it that the Lord requires of you? So let's see what the Lord, what's God value in each and every one of us? Do justice. Do what's right. Be good people. Love mercy. My translation, which is CSB, says to act justly and to love faithfulness. I think that our mind is focused on God. And when that happens, we are also to walk humbly with your God. That's three simple things that God requires in this one verse of each and every one of us. But if you really think about those three things, they're not easy to do. But being a Christian is not about having an easy life. It's about living faithful in the good and the bad, and even the ugly sometimes. He requires us to do justice, do what's right, love mercy, and walk humbly with Him. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Here it gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Most of us will probably quote these, but let's go ahead and turn over to them. Galatians 5. We'll read verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. There's nothing wrong with any of these. Do we have each and every one of these ingrained in our hearts and in our minds? Love. Do we love people even when they don't love us? We should. Are we the happiest people on planet Earth? Do we have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? Because we live for a God who gave His only Son. We should be the happiest people on planet Earth. But yet sometimes, do we show it? Do we let our light shine, or do we hide them in grief and sadness? Don't get me wrong. We all deal with things. But we should be a people letting our light shine, so no one should not be able to see the light that's in each and every one of us. Are we peaceful? Are we patient? I'm not. I'll be the first to tell you. At work, if something don't go right electronically or something, I'm the first one to say, we need to get a new equipment. Because if it's supposed to work, it's supposed to work. I do not like it not to work. We pay too much money for it, that's my excuse, for it not to work. But really, is that a virtue that we should have, or is that something that we should portray of being impatient? No. Goodness. It doesn't hurt to be nice to somebody. When you see them walking down the street, how are you doing? Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day goes a long way. Four simple words that can really change a person's outlook on that day. Kindness. There's nothing wrong with being kind to people. When you walk into a restaurant, do you have good to see y'all this evening? Be patient with the people, because some restaurants are not as fast as others about getting you seated. Or do you get all tore up about it? No, we're not supposed to. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, these are not just virtues. These are fingerprints of Christ on a person's life. If you want to live a Christian life, those are things that you must possess and never let go. When people remember you, they won't talk about your resume. Albeit it may be grand, that's not what they're going to talk about when they're looking at you in your casket at the end of life. And I know this seems sad, but bear with me. It's a positive turn coming. See, they won't remember the bad thing, or the resumes and all that stuff. What will they talk about when they're looking at you? Well, I hope they talk about my kindness. I hope they talk about my integrity. He said He would do it. He did it. He was a man of His word. Humility. He wasn't puffed up about it. He wasn't going around saying, well, I'm so and so, or how many people do y'all know y'all meet? Well, I'm so-and-so. And they want you to think they're significant. It's not about that. do you show compassion to people? In passing, do you show them love and your faithfulness? Will they talk about you as he was a good man of God? You see, they will remember you for how you made them feel and how you treated them. They will also remember the Christ they saw in you. And that's what it's all about. Letting Christ shine outward. Sometimes you're the only Bible somebody's ever going to read. Have y'all ever heard that expression? Sometimes you're the only Bible some people's ever going to read. Are you living up to its standards? You see, character is the legacy you carry with you every day and everywhere you go. Every day and everywhere you go, people's looking at you. And I never realized carrying the name of a member of the Church of Christ carries a weight with it. Because people look at us differently. Because they know we say we do things differently. We are a set apart people. Peculiar. Holy people. They judge us differently. I'm fine with that. Because I'm doing everything I can to live by this book. But when you do one thing that is contrary to this book, let me tell you, they're the first to point fingers at you. And it's a sad world we live in, it's that way. But I always tell them, when you're pointing your finger at me, you've got three more pointing back at you. Because you know what? I'm not perfect, but I live for a God who was perfect. I strive every day to be what the Bible tells us to be. We all do. Or we wouldn't be here this morning, you know? I mean, this is not a beat you down type sermon. This is a reminder of what we're supposed to be, what God expects out of us. And here's the thing, though. I think one of the greatest examples in the Bible for us of a person living with purpose was Paul. Because see, he invested in people and pointed them to Jesus. That is our ultimate goal. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's the legacy we're supposed to leave. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That is three small sentences in that one verse. But really let that sink in. Paul here, reaching the end of his life, tells us what mattered most. I fought the good fight. That good fight was fighting for Christ. Fighting the life of Christianity. And they had it far worse than we have it today. I mean, Stephen was stoned for the Lord. How many of we don't have what they went through. They truly fought the good fight because it was a fight for their life to proclaim Christ. I have finished the race. Christianity is about a race. We're racing to get to heaven. Sometimes it may be up and down hills and valleys, but we should never stop the race. Because when you stop the race, you'll start falling backwards. You got to keep pressing forward. I have kept the faith. That's the most amazing verse to me. I have kept the faith. That's what our legacy should be. Keeping the faith. Here we see, notice what he didn't say. He didn't tell us his list of accomplishments. This man wrote most of the New Testament. He could have talked about that. Well, look what I've done for God. Or look who I am. He didn't say anything about him. Everything was about the fight, the good fight, the gospel fight. He didn't talk about the churches he planted or the miles he traveled. Well, I run 200 miles over there to go preach a gospel meeting. He didn't talk about the things he did physically. He talked about the things he did spiritually. He talked about his faithfulness. One of the greatest ways Paul lived faithfully was by investing in people. Well, Brother Dustin, what do you mean by that? Well, Timothy, Titus, Barnabas, the entire early church. How many of the letters he wrote to the people, the churches of Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica? He was all about the people. His mindset was get as many souls to heaven as I possibly can. His focus was doing the Great Commission, going out and preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was about a purpose, and that purpose was spiritual driven. His legacy wasn't a monument. We go to Washington, D.C., you'll see Washington's monument, Lincoln Memorial. You can go anywhere you want to, even locally. There's statues. There's one right here by the bank of a musician. I don't know which one it is, but there's statues and monuments of people to be remembered. His wasn't about a monument. It was about the people he touched. See, your greatest impact would not be what you leave to people. Your greatest impact is what you leave in people. How do you reach their heart? I'm going to count. There's roughly 25 people in here. If each one of us asked one person this week to come through those two doors outside, and there's only a 3% success rate, three. That means one person will be here next week that's new. And that's one thing I've started trying to do more. It's weird to say this. It's hard to invite someone to Singing River for me right now because I never know when I'm going to be there. Because I want to be there if they're there. But for the last 6 months, I've been bounced around to five different locations and mainly at Tharptown. But I actually had four high school friends show up at Tharptown to hear me preach. You're talking about nervous when they walk through them doors. I invited them in the expectations they would never show. They shocked me. But you know what? That's what we're supposed to be about. How can people hear the truth if they're not here? If we have a 3% success rate, that means one extra person will be here next week. That's it. 3% is not much. Matthew 5, 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. There's two things I want us to look at there. That they may see your good works. When they see you outside these four walls and they see you're different, that you're living to a standard, guess what they're also going to see? You giving glory to your God. And when they see you do that, they may, you know what? There is something different about him or her. I want what they've got. That's where that last part, giving glory. Because all it takes is them to hear the truth. And once you hear the truth, we know in Romans it talks about the power of salvation. The gospel is so strong, we don't even realize how strong it is sometimes. When people finally let it click and hit their heart, it pricks them in a way that just blows my mind. There is power in the gospel. A life that points people to Jesus is a life that echoes into eternity. When you have someone follow Jesus that you've worked with, there's no greater joy. I think you're probably happier than they are that they found Jesus. Paul was a great example of this. He was a go-getter, if you could say that term. He went after the people. He didn't care. He didn't care. He was kicked out of towns and thrown into jail. And what did he do when he was in jail? He praised the Lord. And guess what? The Philippian jailer and their entire family was converted. Would we have that mentality if we were thrown into jail for doing the good works that he talked about, fighting that good fight? No, I don't think I would. I'd probably be down and out. And that's on me. But we got to have that mentality of being a go-getter. Going after the people, because that's where our mark is made in this life. Because it echoes into eternity. When you get someone to follow Christ, they're on that pathway, the narrow path with you then. And it's all about how many people we can get on that narrow path. That's where our legacy truly is. So ask yourself today, who is growing because of my encouragement? Or who is stronger because of my prayers? That's the one thing me and my wife Katie has, our New Year's resolution this year is, we have a text feed from Singing River that all the members are in. If it says, hey, brother and sister is going to the hospital, say a prayer for them. How many, I'm guilty as charged, look at it, I'll say it later. When that happens, prayer is needed. Stop what you're doing. Make a difference. I've been at work, and I mean, I'm not trying to talk about, but this is something to me, this is a personal issue that I had within myself. Of not putting people first. You thought you was, but are you? Philip was in jail writing letters to these Christians, making a difference in people's lives. It's as simple as us to stop and say a 5-minute prayer, but it was too hard for me to do that. Like I said, this lesson truly hits home with me because this is my focal point and my drive for my New Year's resolution of 2026. To be a better person. To go after more people. And to leave a legacy that shows that I was more about God than more about Dustin. Who knows Jesus better because of my example? See, legacy is not about being remembered for your greatness. Absolutely not. Legacy is about helping others remember God's greatness. And when they focus on God because of what you've done in your life and the example you set in front of them, when one is baptized into Christ, all of heaven rejoices, along with you and that brother or sister that you got to come to Christ. That's our purpose. So in conclusion, what will your legacy say or be? Every day you are writing a story that others will tell about you. You see, every decision you make is a sentence in that book. People are looking at us. Like I said earlier, they look at us differently. Rightfully so, because we are different. Every habit is a paragraph. People remember the good and bad things you do. Sadly, they're looking at you. Every relationship that you have is a chapter in that book. Are you going to hang out with your worldly friends, or are you going to hang out with your godly friends? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you allow a little bit of bad influences in your life, it can bring you down, even when you think you're trying to bring them up. See, you don't have to be famous. People's always looking for fortune and fame. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be perfect. We strive for perfection. You don't need to be extraordinary. What you got to do is simply live faithful. live with purpose. Build a character that will outlive you. When people look at you when you're gone, what will they say about you? And invest in people and point them to Christ. That's what we're all about. And when your story is told, I pray that it be said that your life made others look towards God rather than you. That's the lesson. I encourage myself and each and every one in this room to reflect inward, to see where we are weak, to see where we need to strengthen our faith, strengthen our motives, strengthen us, the church. Because the more people that we get in the church, the stronger the church is. So I'm going to ask this morning, if you've not obeyed that gospel, if you've not started down this pathway, don't wait. Life is but a vapor, and it's gone. None of us is promised tomorrow. And that's a sad reality, yes, but for those who are Christians, knowing that we could see our Heavenly Father tomorrow, oh, what joy it should give each and every one of us to know that our life is a vapor. And that we'll get to live throughout eternity with the one who gave his life for us. See, there's no greater sacrifice ever made on this planet than what Jesus did for us. We should live for him. That's our purpose. And not only live for him, bring as many people in contact with him and his gospel as possible. So if you are in need of prayers this morning, or you need to obey the gospel, confess that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of those sins. I urge you now to come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.